Welcome to the Esports Business Network podcast. I'm your host, Trent Knox. I'm the founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. This is EBN podcast number 48. Our guest is Adam Lopez, Esports coordinator at Irvine Valley College. In this podcast, we talk about Adam's experience in gaming from the perspective of growing up in Northern California, how he got in collegiate esports, and what are some of the benefits of joining a collegiate esports program. Enjoy.
This is the future. Evolution. This is the future.
Hey, y'all, it's Trent Knox. Back again with another Esports Business Network podcast. And today's guest is Adam Lopez of Irvine Valley Community College. Welcome to the show, Adam. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Trent. Thankful to be here.
Yeah. I've been working with Jacob Johnson of Lager Gaming for a few months now, trying to figure out how to incorporate university community college in the education space and the path to pro kind of conversation and having that. And so I've been looking forward to having these conversations with collegiate leaders like yourself in the space. But before we jump into all of that, for the audience and myself, let's get to know Adam a little bit better and talk about where you got established in gaming.
Sure. So I was always a lover of video gaming. I got a Sega Genesis when I was really young, and I've just been playing video games ever since. I do remember the first few esports events that I watched, the one of them being on G4, they streamed a Counter-Strike tournament. And my friend and I, at the time, we would go over to his place and we would tag team Counter-Strike. And we both came upon that broadcast and we were just glued. We loved it. And I also remember watching Warcraft 3's qualifiers for BlizzCon, and I had never even played Warcraft, but I loved everything about it. So I knew that esports was something that I just pressed play and my hours would just go by. So I really appreciated competitive video gaming. And that was in 2007 that I realized this. And then around 2009, 2010, I had a lot of success in World of Warcraft. That game is just amazing when it comes to the depth of strategy. I found myself really appreciating how challenging it was. I felt really bored in school and needed something that really challenged me in an exciting manner, and that's what World of Warcraft was. And so, that's kind of like the introduction to esports. I mean, later on, fast forward, I'm pursuing teaching, and I'm noticing that all the things that the professors are trying to instill in the upcoming teachers aligns perfectly with esports. And this was just before the break that we're starting to see with all these colleges buying in, building facilities. And I thought, goodness, maybe I should check out this esports thing. And so slowly but surely, I've been just working my way into the space. I'm really lucky because I'm in a great place. Orange County is fantastic with esports. So they've really fostered my growth. And now here I am. I'm working for Irvine Valley College as their esports coordinator, and I feel very grateful for that.
Speaking of which, did you grow up in the California area or did you grow up somewhere else?
I grew up in Northern California. I came Northern down California. To SoCal because there are a lot of great schools for music and music education down there. I went to Long Beach State, fantastic program. I'm really thankful for them. And so that's what drew me in, and I'm really thankful that I did it because it's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. I haven't heard so much about the esports and gaming culture in Northern California. Most people who talk about it, they talk about Southern California with all the big tier one orgs and of course UC Irvine and USC and their esports programs and whatnot. So it's interesting to hear perspective from places that aren't necessarily the hot spots, whether that be Los Angeles, Dallas, Atlanta, the big, you know, big places, New York, and more so now coming Miami is really blowing up. And so what was it like when you were growing up culturally with gaming? Were you really engaged with the community, or were you like a gamer like myself that was kind of solo or couch co-op, not really in the tournament scene?
Yeah, totally. So when I really gravitated towards competitive video gaming, that was in World of Warcraft, and that was just 100% online. And so it wasn't like there were in-person tournaments happening locally for that. The only scene that existed was either the official Blizzard tournaments, which only happened once a year, and the MLG tournaments that was going on like 2007 to 2010-ish. And so I just pretty much like stayed online. That's really, I like that you asked this question, because that's where I really learned to develop socially, right? I didn't have those in-person tournaments like a lot of other people, like especially like fighting games. Those get a lot of local tournaments. People make friends there and they really engage in their passion there. So I did that all online, and I'm really thankful for that, because I developed a lot of skills through that world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I asked that question because, like I said, for me, the only time that I really engaged with a large gaming community would be at like midnight release party or something like that, where I would have to go pick up the box set for World of Warcraft like you, or I was playing Call of Duty. So then someone had like this rigged out truck where people would get on and play Search and Destroy in this, like, I don't know how to explain it, but like, it wasn't like the trucks you see today that go around in trailers, but it was like in the back of like a Suburban, and it was all rigged up. But I remember these things. These are sort of memories I think that'll came and went. They will never exist again in the small capacity. But talk a little bit about, I guess, your first experience with tournaments and having seen it offline in that experience.
I'm sure I'd love to, because, man, did I attend a fantastic tournament my first time out. So I think it was 2010 BlizzCon. I was sponsored with Arena Ownage, and I was kind of like going out there. They paid for some of my trip to go out there and like represent them, talk with the community. And at that tournament, I was also just starting to get into StarCraft. And StarCraft, I think this was 2010. It must have been. And at the time, I was watching, if you know it, GSL. And that was the mm-hmm. top-tier Korean StarCraft, right? And so there was this was the only time that GSL brought their championship to America, and it was at BlizzCon, and it was a hype event. It was MVP versus MMA, top tier Terran versus another top tier Terran. Both have different styles. We got in line for BlizzCon at like 7:30 a.m. Went straight to the venue for StarCraft, and then sat mm-hmm. and waited there for the GSL finals the whole day. We just tag team switching off, and it was so worth it. Oh my goodness, that was such a hype event. I even recorded it on my phone, like the audience. And this was just when esports was starting to take off, because of the StarCraft mm-hmm. era. It was really ushering in all these different sponsors, and the viewership numbers were skyrocketing compared to what they used to be. And mm-hmm. everybody felt the hype that was coming on. You know, when GSL took over, the lights turned orange from blue, from the BlizzCon blue to the GSL orange, the mm-hmm. rock music that they played, dude, it was so sick. It was so freaking hype. And it was a standing room only after that. And that was such a great series. I think it went 4-2 to the underdog MMA. And it was so sick, because in the first match, MVP decimated MMA with his own bio style, and then MMA mm-hmm. got him the next round with tech, and it was like, yo, they're getting huge on each other with their own styles. It was so sick, and I will never forget that. Like, for the next three blocks after the event, we were all walking, we were like, that was so hype. You could just hear other people like, that was so hype. Like, it was an amazing event. It was definitely a great way to break my LAN, you know, audience experience in.
Yeah, that story encompasses, I think, the true value of why esports is so meaningful and valuable to people who love gaming. And I didn't get into StarCraft until 2012 with the GSL and the GOM TV and Artosis and Tasteless commentating on the games, because I was introduced to it by a friend of mine in college. But that was sort of it wasn't the first time I experienced or seen esports at scale, because I kind of saw it through MLG and Halo tournaments previously before that. But seeing that really was the reason why I go to offline events now, like DreamHack or BlizzCon or any of the big ones. I unfortunately wasn't able to go out to the Fortnite World Cup, but you know, those events and, you know, T1 and or TI and like League of Legends Worlds, these things are the spirit that really pushes esports forward. And so like hearing your story is incredibly, you know, exciting to me, and it gives me a feeling that I can't wait till those events come back. You know what I mean? Just to get involved again back in the scene. What about collegiate? What is it that you, have you found that's the same, or if there, how do the production come over to collegiate?
What a great question, because I was, if you were going to move on, I was going to interrupt you, Beck. Yo, we got to talk about this for a second. This is really important in the collegiate space. And this is really important with academic esports in general, or just esports in general, when it comes to inspiring people to really take action and realize the potential there for them to be involved. A lot of tournaments that exist right now are online. And even before COVID, they were online national tournaments, and they do carry a lot of weight, and the students do get excited to compete. But there is nothing like going in person and hosting an event with local schools and all coming together and setting up the broadcasting, setting up the tournament organization and all that, and being a part of that. When I was a college student at Long Beach, those events were very meaningful for me because they opened my eyes to like, wow, this is loads of fun. And there's a lot of potential for me to do different things. And it's challenging, and I'm excited about it. So these in-person events are something that I hope to see come into the academic esports space a lot more as we move out of COVID, just because of what it means for students. Right now, we see that happening with districts are beginning to buy in. We got regional tournaments. You'll see school districts. You'll see just even like local schools banding together doing that. Good. We need more of that. That's gonna really get investment up, because they love to turn it into turf wars, right? That's kind of like how Korea's esports scene started. It was like, oh, you got that guy over at that gaming cafe. Is he better than the one down the street? That's really inspires students. They love getting local. So I'm thankful that you brought that up.
Yeah. What about recruiting? What does it take to find the right players for your teams?
Okay. So I'm reluctant to answer this question, because recruiting is one of the many ways that it's one of the biggest ways that our program can get ahead. There are so many different avenues of recruiting. And that does also lend itself to the in-person events. That's big, growing the community, growing the local community. Yeah. Recruiting is one of the biggest ways that we can get ahead at Irvine Valley. And I think that some of the things that we do is special. So, totally. First of all, I don't see a lot of college directors, coordinators, coaches getting into the relevant Discords. So there are a whole bunch of different Discords out there that are leagues, just to name a few. Like there's HSEL, Play Versus, or Play VS, whatever they call themselves these days. They don't really allow this. It's hard to connect to the students, so that's fine. But there are loads of other leagues out there that exist that you can go into and post information about your college. And that's recruited a lot of people into our program. That's big. Next thing is emailing the administrators, or talking with administrators on Discord through those leagues, and getting into the actual school Discords. On a majority of the school, I'm in some really darn good schools, quite possibly the best Valorant team in the nation. I'm in one of their Discords as far as high school esports goes. I'm the only one there that I see. I'm just like, oh, these directors, they're going to get toasted when it comes to recruiting, because they got no idea that they're supposed to be in the Discord. So that's a huge one to start. And then back to going to local events, that's big too, because especially for us being a community college, we don't recruit too much over state lines. Yes, it does happen, and we don't recruit too much from Northern California, but we really want to grow these local schools, because that's going to feed us talent, and that's also going to do great things for students, getting them together. And it's also going to provide meaningful opportunities for our students at the school already to host events that go into their portfolio, go into their resume. So it's just a win-win-win all around. And so I think that's another big one. And we see some of these other programs that have been historically competitive, they're starting to do this. I'm noticing some of them are starting to run local high school tournaments, and that's a very good decision.
What, talk a little bit about, is there a different approach to recruiting internally versus working externally from the college? Do you separate that approach, like when you're looking to like get students that are already registered to the college versus students that are looking to go through administration?
Definitely. There is a bit of a different approach. And I'm happy you brought that up because that is important. You want to be able to state that you want to be able to state unequivocally that you've reached every student on your campus and they know what you got going on and they know the level at which you're doing it. And so I think the most effective thing is a student-wide email. So reach out to your marketing department, say, hey, yo, can we do a student-wide email that has, make sure esports is in the title, because we rolled out an email without esports in the title. It was part of the weekly newsletter. We only got like 30 people into our Discord from that. We put esports in the title, ran it again, boom, 150 more. So it's really important that you get the eyes of the students on that information. It's difficult. On campus recruiting is going to be really nice when COVID comes up, because not everybody checks out their school email. And so I think boothing right at the front consistently. It's also important that you are working with your marketing team and having them run information. We're lucky enough at Irvine Valley to be under our athletics department. So a few students have come in through that avenue because they go to our athletics site and then they see, oh, when esports is on the list, that's a little weird. Let's check that out. And then it turns out they're like a top tier player, and boom, now we got ourselves another fantastic player. So I think there's a few things that you could do, but when it comes to like working with your marketing department, running that student-wide email and boothing on campus, those are the major things that are going to be successful.
Ooh, that's interesting. You brought up the fact that your organization is under the athletics department. Does that mean that means that you're a varsity program, correct?
Not necessarily. I like to identify as an institutional program because with that comes a certain weight of pedagogy and educational principles that we like to adhere to. I think a lot of varsity programs identify as having somebody who's on staff that's from the professional scene or working their way through the amateur scene to be the director, the one calling shots. In a way, we're somewhat a varsity program, but we have loads of student leaders in a whole bunch of different programs. So I like to identify as an institutional program that utilizes a lot of student liberation, giving them voice over what's happening. I am not a director. I am a coordinator, and I would I like to think of myself as a servant to students who only offers advice and connections. And so when it comes to those coaches, like you see a lot of varsity has on staff coaches, and we're looking to expand ourselves into somewhat of a similar program, but we're not going to lose our principles. But those students are getting really good, meaningful opportunities. Now, I'm not saying that varsity programs don't do that, because they will do that too. And I love when they do that, but I prefer to identify as, like I said, institutional.
Yeah, there can be a lot of challenges. And I think that in being not under the athletic department, but then there's also benefits for being a part of student affairs. And you know, you have to hear stories from leaders like yourself to understand how do you get the right mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it, and make it work the best for your community and your school. Talk a little bit about, because it costs a lot of money to operate a program like yours. How do you guys get the funding to be able to afford to have teams and expand the games that you're playing?
Totally. So we are in a bit of a unique situation. Being a California community college, we have this funky system that has its pros and its cons behind it. What we do is, well, first of all, we're very new, right? We're only 5 months old here, and we're still working our way and charging our way through the waters to figure out what we should do that's best. But what we're doing right now is I am on staff as a professor, and that's how I get paid. So we run a course. This is the way we do the rest of our athletics. So if you sign up for volleyball at Irvine Valley, you're going to be enrolled in IA whatever number volleyball, right? And so we do the exact same thing. Our esports students are signing up for what's called IA 201, and that's intercollegiate esports. And that's the way that we're getting that, that as far as I'm getting paid goes, the facility is also being funded by athletics dollars. Even though the COVID hasn't been so great, one of the greatest things is that there wasn't very many costs for athletics last year. And so we took all that funding and hey, now we're going to get ourselves an esports facility. So that's how we're funding that. And I think there's a bit of consulting money that's going to be coming in as we expand the program.
Very cool. And so you mentioned consulting, and I'm going to go a different direction, I guess, a little bit, but how do you stay connected with the other collegiate programs that are around you to have the opportunity to compete and stay in tournaments? Do you have to do a lot of research, or do you find that it's sort of just everybody's kind of gravitating toward each other naturally?
There's definitely a lot of natural growth that's happening locally, especially because it's Southern California. It's really easy. It's a dense area. And so it's not too challenging to find and network our way through so long as I'm being proactive about doing that. And there's a few avenues that I really like to use. The first one that's been really great for us was the TSMU Discord. And they launched that. We're really excited about that. We love seeing pro orgs buy into the academic space and professional development space, because that's not just academic. They're looking to help anybody, no matter where they are. They don't need to be in school to get into the esports business. And so that one was great because we found a lot of local community colleges in there just by stroke of luck. So that's led to a lot of great things happening. As far as staying connected, I'm really fortunate to be in Orange County. The Orange County Department of Ed has been amazing. UCI has been amazing for getting everybody connected locally. NACEF, who just got bought out by HSEL, and now they're kind of melding. I'm really thankful for NACEF. I mean, as far as my development goes, I owe a lot of it to all three of those organizations. So they make it really easy so long as I stay connected with those major leaders. And then outside of that, I think we also use students. So students have connections to whole bunch of different schools in the area. They have friends that are, they all share the passion of being in these games, right? So it's not too uncommon for somebody who is on our coaching staff for our League of Legends team to know somebody that goes to Long Beach State or Fullerton State or whatever. And so it's easy to stay connected that way, get our scrims going. And hey, if we ever need to network and throw on a tournament, you bet we're going to be asking everybody to network that way.
Yeah. And with community colleges becoming more and more accessible across the nation, and more community colleges being established, what's the path from getting your associate's degree at a community college to then going to a university or a state school where you can finish off your degree program, but still stay connected with an esports avenue or path to pro?
Yeah, what a great question. And I like that you highlighted how accessible it is, right? We're even fortunate enough to be in California that in 2019, if you're a first year going into community college, tuition is free. So that's going to make it really easy for us to get students on a path into a career. And if they want to use esports as a part of that development, then perfect. And if they even want to go into the industry in esports, perfect. We're going to do our best to make sure that we're providing that avenue. I think that the pathway is becoming more and more established, especially because everybody's networking. There's been some great stuff from Twitch getting everybody connected. The Collegiate Rising events hosting their panels have been amazing. The pathway that we're really interested in IVC, that I hope a lot of other programs start to adopt, is we find those students, like you said, ease of access. The typical form of education did not resonate with them. They probably have a 2.8 GPA. I think Play Versus, they did some sort of study, I believe, where they found that a lot of esports talent had about a 2.8 GPA. And so we're trying to get those students and say, hey, come over here. This isn't going to be your typical type of education. You're going to come over here. You're going to engage in the community. The projects that you do are going to have real world output. We're going to find your strengths, the things that you like to do within esports already. So we're going to double down on inspiring you and get you developing your resume, your portfolio. You're going to make connections to other schools as you scrim them or you do events with them. And that may be a way for you to find to go into a four-year. And the thing is when we cater that type of learning to the students, they will be more inspired. So their grades are naturally going to go up. And that's going to make it even easier for them to transfer in. And being a community college too, we are afforded many spots that are guaranteed at the other schools. They have to let in X amount of community college students into their program. And so it's very easy for us to send students to some of those prestigious esports programs like UCI, like UCLA, UCSD. Shout out to them for opening up that recent scholarship within the last month. That's awesome. So yeah, I think that's the pathway that we're developing, and I'm happy to see it beginning to respond to the needs of all these students who love competitive video gaming or video gaming or just being with a community.
Very cool. And so let's, I guess I want to organize these two next questions so that they feed into each other. But in your program, Irvine Valley Community College, do you have a dual credit program incorporated into the high schools, and are high schoolers able to participate within the Irvine Valley Community College esports program?
Totally. There is one unfortunate situation with being enrolled on the team. There was something that happened in California where dual enrollment students were feeding programs money. It was basically like California Community College Athletics, Watergate Community College California edition. So there, now we've had a slap on the wrist and we're not allowed to have dual enrollment students anymore. So we, being under the athletics department, we cannot invite them to be in the varsity class. So if they are dual enrolled, though, we do try to involve them by being a club scholar and participating in the teams that way, so they won't get credit, but they can still play with the teams. And we also do invite high school students to come and play with the teams, especially when our main college students may not be able to attend an event. So for example, we've had somebody from Irvine High School play with our team during one of our more recent amateur teams. So there is definitely a path for our dual enrollment students. We want to make sure that that's there. And we know that's important for us, especially as a community college. It's really important for recruitment. As far as being in the esports program and club, definitely. We have very many dual enrollment students within our program. We even invite local high school students who aren't even enrolled at IVC to come and be a part of our program. I think right now we've got somebody, we've even got a team manager who's in Pennsylvania who wants experience team managing, and he's a high school student. And hey, great, you want to help us out and be a part of our organization, get us set up for scrims? I'm not going to say no to that. You're going to get a meaningful opportunity. Fine, we're here. We need that whole field. If a student comes in that's from the college that wants that position, probably going to lose a lot of responsibility because we are a service to our students, but I'm not going to turn down high school students. I think they're very important for engaging.
Yeah, very cool. And so, like, I guess this kind of is applicable to high school students and currently enrolled students in Irvine Valley. So you mentioned that in the first year their tuition is covered. In that second year, are there sponsorships and grants that are subsidizing the second year that they spend in getting their associate degree?
So I believe that the mandate passed in 2019 says that the tuitions will continue to be paid until the end of the second year. So that does continue. Another thing that's offered at Irvine Valley is that there is the IVC Foundation Scholarship. And I believe you have to apply for that in your first year, and then you get it your second year. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking for people who are engaged in the same things that we're doing at the esports program. I won't be surprised when we have a student who is an IVC Foundation Scholar real soon here.
Very cool. And for the transition from community college to a four-year university, is the program helping to find esports scholarships and scholarships for them to continue their education?
Absolutely. We definitely have our eyes on scholarships, and there's a few ways that this manifests. One of them is if I have a college director coming to me who's interested in recruiting, and I think they should be because we've got some really fantastic students at Irvine Valley. We have a channel for them that's called College Opportunities within the Discord. They can post information about their college program there. So that's one of the ways that we're trying to get students aware of the opportunities out there. Another one is we keep our eyes out for combines. We've had a few students compete in these weekend combines where college directors, coaches will show up and talk about their program and talk with the students and say, hey, like, you're the kind of student that we're looking for. Would you be interested in learning more? Maybe we're going to give you a scholarship. So those are basically the two main ways that we're looking to do that. And then coming up in the fall, spring, we're going to look into doing an event ourselves where we invite coaches, directors to come and look at our students and maybe even students in Orange County who are in high school, because there's a lot of talent here. There's some of the best performing high schools in the nation are in this area. So I think that it's going to be a very attractive opportunity for a lot of college directors out there. It's definitely on our minds, and I'm thankful that you brought it up, because that's something that's unique for us, is that as a community college, we get to compete in the college space, but we also get to send other people into a scholarship after they're done here, and we really need to take advantage of that.
Very cool. I guess the next thought I have about this in particular, where do I want to go? So the process, I guess, through going through collegiate is, it takes someone who's got a fair a bit of intelligence. Obviously, you have to have the purpose and the drive to go through school and get through it. I've been seeing a lot of tier one organizations aligning themselves with universities and things like that. What do you think the right mindset is, or the right skill set is, for a person to go through the path of pro and go on to tier one organization?
You're saying as a competitor?
As a competitor, yeah.
Okay, sure. A mindset, right? That's a tough question to be. That's a tough question to answer, because I feel like that the answer to that question is so different for so many different competitors. I think one of the biggest one is that they need to be very strong at identifying their weaknesses and knowing how to look at others who have proof of concept and the ways that they've identified those weaknesses, and then be willing to experiment and say, okay, I noticed that this player spends this amount of time addressing their mechanics in this way. I'm going to try that out. Does that work for me? Okay, that's that kind of worked. Let's see what else we can steal. So I think that there's a lot of information out there on how to address your weaknesses as an esports competitor. One thing that I see is very common is a lot of people simply just press play. They don't take the time to study what they're doing. A VOD review is one of the most overpowered ways to get better at a game. And like, for instance, right now, I'm getting back into the Burning Crusade came out. And so I'm really stoked, because this is the version of World of Warcraft that I love. And so Arena's just opened up, and I'm like, man, we're going to trash all these players, because they probably aren't VOD reviewing. We're going to do some VOD review, and we're going to have a massive advantage, because we're willing to put in that time. Whereas a lot of the other players out there just love to hit play, and it's fun for them. And I get that. If that's fun for you and that makes you better, good. Adapt to your style. Be adapted to that. But VOD review and taking the time to study is super powerful. And I think that's often underused in younger players. There's also just studying in general. I haven't seen it yet. I've only heard about it. Harstam just interviewed some of the top StarCraft players. And the two top StarCraft players, I believe this is right. I hope I'm right about this, because I heard this from someone. I haven't watched it yet. It's on my watch list. But from what I understand, they're spending like 80% of their practice time simply studying. They're not even playing. They're playing 10 games a day, and then the rest of it is just pure studying of the strategy. And I think that's the direction that esports is going. The people have the mechanics. A lot of people have the mechanics. You don't need to spend too much time. Kovacs is out there. AIM Labs is out there. There's loads of ways for you to identify that. what are you doing to develop your strategy and address your weaknesses? I think that's those are the questions that aspiring esports competitors need to answer.
Yeah, I don't want to mess this up, so maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I can attest to that from just being a casual player, never really competing in StarCraft, to watch Boxer on drops with Terran, and then watching Life play Zerg. Right? Is that right? Life.
Life. That sounds right. Yeah, I haven't been too up to date with the scene.
I mean, that was back in 2013. So I mean, when I was really participating in it. But I remember watching YouTube videos to get better at playing, right? And watching the pros play. And that would get me from Wood League to Bronze. But I guess I'm going back to the question that I had on my mind before I asked that question about professional teams and tier ones and the path to pro. What about work ethic? Because that's sort of what you're talking about, right? And totally. Do you advise students that have the time or whatnot to get like an on-campus job or some form of a job to get like real job experience as well as advancing in their, you know, skills and knowledge?
There's definitely something to be said about getting onto a project with others and figuring out what it means to be the best as a team. I think that does naturally happen if you're, so I guess the question by this point is, what game are we talking about here? If it's a solo game, that may be very good for somebody to have that team experience if they're trying to get good at a solo game, because they may also start to develop the skills to reach out to others and start strategizing. And networking is really big, and sharing strategies. We see that with these Discord servers that pop up where everybody talks about strategy. So that would be really good. I think it is important to do those things because it can also be inspiring to be on projects with others. And I'm kind of sad that I didn't say this, but to also answer your question, I do think that a lot of aspiring esports competitors can go through that college route. And so that would be more of a way for them to engage with their college program and have this sense of belonging in the world. That's really large. If they're just, it's them against the world and it's not them with the world, it's much more challenging to sit down and study and put in that work ethic like you're talking about and do more than just simply escape the world and press play. So I think that there is something to be said about engaging in projects with fellows in your community.
I like the way you took that. I think, you know, gamers are naturally introverted because you kind of get in you get into the screen, to say it simply. Like, you get invested in the character on the other side of the screen. And you want that character to succeed in the game. And so a lot of the times that results in a person not getting to experience those extroverted activities, and then finding, and I think I kind of had to learn to be extroverted and insert myself into social activities and things like that. Because when I was going to college, I'm sure there was some form of collegiate esports or collegiate gaming program, but I much rather have gone home and played World of Warcraft or StarCraft online with my buddies. But I think that I would have been much more primed for the workforce if I had gone and participated in those community groups.
Totally. And I don't want to take away too much from what happens online, because I attribute a lot of my social skills to what happened when I was playing World of Warcraft. So I think that there is a connection and a bridge that needs to happen, like you're saying, like getting involved in your local community, because if you're always having to escape to that other world online and then find those very niche people, then you feel like you really don't belong in your local community. And then that's not good, right? But if you could find those people locally and you're like, okay, I can pretty much do this anywhere. There's people who share this passion. There's a lot behind that. And I know that a lot of my path was paved by that exact experience. Like it definitely started like I was saying, with the moments that I started to notice the teachings that my professors were trying to instill in me as I was becoming a teacher aligned with esports. I was like, okay, well, you know what I should do? A good decision would be to join my esports club here on campus. I've heard a little bit about them, and I've attended one of the events, but I should join them and see how they operate. And then I could take that to the high school that I end up teaching at. And so that was the plan. And I thought I was just going to show up, take some notes, see how they function. But no, I got super involved because it was like, yo, you like League of Legends too? Sick. Yeah, I like it. What do you play? You know? Yeah. And then before you know it, I was just like so bought into everything that was going on in the program. And I wanted to be more involved. And that led to loads of experiences that just helped me really feel inspired to pursue this more.
You know, that's interesting because I got a sense of thinking about how surprising it was when I saw offline tournaments were so successful, because I looked at it and I was like, oh, wow, this grew so fast in my mind, because when I was growing up, I didn't hear about any of these things happening, you know, and then it just happened so fast over the course of like 5 years that I saw this exponential growth and whatnot. Before I let you go, because we're running on 5 minutes left on the podcast, I want to know, what about perspective? Finding direction in what particular thing you want to do in esports, from being a player to being a coach, a caster, what about roles in the space? And how do you align yourself with the right education and opportunities to go and pursue that opportunity?
That's a loaded question. I think there's a lot of different ways to answer that. I'll do my best to answer it quickly. I think that if you know you love esports, and this is something you can't get enough of, and you get really hyped for all the events, and you're one that wants to be involved in a community, it is important that if you are in college, you're in high school or whatever, it's good to find something to do for free. And it's definitely a way to work your way in, because you're going to have to develop your resume. You're going to have to develop your portfolio and get experiences to find what you want to do. And so there are a whole bunch of different ways you can pursue esports right now. It's crazy. Like esports law, from what I understand, is starting to really pop off. There's a need for events. Mobile's starting to get really big. There's a lot of opportunities there. Companies are buying in. They're looking for people who understand this space. So first, I think you need to identify that your passion and your skills are enough to move into this space and say, yes, okay, I'm gonna check this out, see what I could do. Start to think about some of the things that you're good at that you notice others aren't so great at. Find your strengths and say, okay, how do I mix that with esports? And I think for me, it was knowing I had been a teacher for so long, and it was knowing that I loved teaching, knowing that I loved esports. Boom, let's see what happens when those collide. And I also got lucky that this was a time where that's just now starting to blow up. So find your strengths, network loads, go to events if you can. Go to events and talk to people and talk about what you love and see what it's like to engage with them. And maybe just by having loads of conversations, you can find something that really resonates you, and then just go for it. Like, don't hold back. Just make some moves on it. Put yourself out there. You may have to experiment and be a little bit outside your comfort zone, but that's a good thing, because that's where you're really going to grow. But just know that there is definitely an opportunity. It's growing rapidly. We're all going to get a fat paycheck when it comes to the Olympics, which is going to happen in like 6 years or so, I bet, when it comes to LA. So move now. And just know that there are people, if you really are somebody who loves esports and understands this space, there are people who want to know you and want you to be working for them, because it's in demand.
And speaking of which, I said I'd alley-oop this up. Here it is, the time to tee it off. You've got some opportunities opening up for Irvine Valley Community College. So talk about those a little bit.
Yeah, so we're really lucky to have such a supportive athletics program. We've had a lot of success. We're looking to find somebody to coach, and not just coach, but also be a teacher of coaches for our FPS, our shooter teams. And so those job postings will be live soon on like everywhere that it needs to be. So just make sure you're searching esports college and we should pop up. And we're also looking for a performance, a sports psychologist, wellness, life, whatever, get these players being the best version of themselves coach who's going to be on faculty as a professor. And so thanks for the opportunity to broadcast that out there, because we're really looking for the best at Irvine Valley, Trent.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you also have a team competing in the Cheez-Its event this weekend, which will, so once you hear this, will be over. But you can go back and watch the VODs, I'm sure.
Totally. Yeah. Shout out to the Overwatch team. They moved really quickly. They've only existed for 2 weeks. They've got a sick team manager behind them who's just absolutely slaying. And I'm excited to see how they do in their first tournament.
Very cool. And so, Adam, before we go, opportunity to let the listeners know where they can get connected with you and what's the best way to get connected with the Irvine Valley Community College esports program.
Totally. So to check me out, I think I'm most active on LinkedIn. So if you like LinkedIn, you can find me at linkedin.com/AdamLopezEsports. I've also got a Twitter, and that is AdamLopez9. I didn't realize that this was the account that I actually was going to be using. And so, yeah, follow me on Twitter there. I'll probably be getting more and more active. We've also got the IBC Twitter. That one's probably our most active as far as student ran social media goes. So you can follow us at IBC Esports, all together, no undercase or anything like that. And then also our sports department, IBC Lasers, on Twitter at IBC Lasers. So yeah, shout out.
And what about a Discord for the IV?
Ooh. Yeah, we do have a Discord. We aren't a community server yet. We're getting close. We're at 350 members. The moment we ding over to 500, we're going to try to get our specific URL. If you do want to find our Discord, you can find it through our Twitter. It's linked right up there at the top in our profile. So that's once again at IVC Esports.
Awesome. Once again, an amazing Esports Business Network podcast. And our guest was Adam Lopez of Irvine Valley Community College. Again, thank you for listening. Hey, y'all, it's Trent Knox, founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're finding value in the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you share the podcast to your network and write a positive review on your preferred podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, feel free to make a contribution to our working capital accounts on Cash App or PayPal. Our username is ESPORTSBIZNET. That's Esports BizNet on both platforms. As always, we'd love for you to join our community and platform at https://www.evn.gg. You can take advantage of a free subscription to our bronze membership by following the directions on the homepage. Part of the bronze membership is access to our Discord server and private membership channels. The conversation only evolves with participation from esports entrepreneurs like yourself. We need to hear about your esports business to understand how we can move the industry forward as a community. You can also join the community by joining the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. An additional goal of EBN is to move the conversation forward on your preferred social media platform. So as a last note, don't forget to follow us on social media for current events, news, and other esports related topics. Follow and subscribe to Esports Business Network on social media. Looking forward to networking with you very soon.